Presbytery of San Jose, which means I work with Presbyterian churches in Santa Cruz County, Monterey County, and Santa Clara County. So there's about 36 different congregations, new worshiping communities, fellowships, and churches in and around this area. And again, for those of you that don't know me, our offices are right there. With my offices right over there, we share the space with you, and it is so good to be with you today. I know that I think you've been in the New Testament, but I'm going to take you to the Old Testament for today's lesson. And it's a familiar story for many of us. It's a familiar character, but I'm going to look at it again. So today's lesson comes from the book of the prophet Jonah. And I'm going to read some verses out of chapter 3, Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10. And let's listen to see what God wants to say to us today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3-day walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh will be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hand. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he was going to bring upon them, and he did not. This is the word of the Lord. When God saw what the people did, God changed his mind. Let's pray. The Holy Spirit, come down and be among us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Jonah, Jonah, Jonah. No sermon about Jonah can really just take a little piece of the story without our understanding the whole story. It's really a short story. I don't know how many of you have read Jonah recently. In my Bible, the book of Jonah is this long. That's it. 4 chapters. Not even 2 full pages. You could could read it about as long as it takes me to preach this sermon. But don't do it right now. The narrator of this story clearly has a lot in mind that he wants to express, and he uses the vehicle of a story to tell his story, the points he wants to get across. Right? The Old Testament has a lot of different kinds. It has some poetry, it has some history, it has long lists, but the author wants to tell a story. He could have started it this way, once upon a time. And then right away you're in the story, right? You want to hear what happened once during that time. It is a story that has some surprises, and it has a lot of humor. It has humor, and it actually kind of pokes at prophets. You know what prophets are? Prophets are spokespersons for God. And prophets are normally quite esteemed. You know, everybody listens to the prophets. Kings listen to the prophet. So prophets are a big deal. I mean, look at Jeremiah, look at Isaiah, prophets, they're a big deal. And the author of Jonah looks at prophets like Jonah, pokes him in the eyes. This story is a story about God's grace and God's acceptance, and uses literary satire to tell this story. Now, I just use this term, satire, right? Satire is a form of humor characterized by several things, and they can be this way. Things are funny, things are ironic, things are outrageous. That's what satire uses. Therefore, because they're so outrageous, they can't be factually true, but they speak a truth. If you pay attention to Jonah's story, you will see this. In some ways, Jonah, if you read it, is really like a play. You could present the story of Jonah on a stage like this. It's a play that happened. So let's review this. God says to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah, the first thing he does after he hears this is he gets on a boat and he goes to Tarshish, which is Spain. Quick geography lesson here, right? Jonah is from this area. Nineveh is over here. Mediterranean, Spain. Got it? Jonah's here. God says, go to Nineveh. Jonah gets on a boat going to Spain. You get the picture here. You know how in the Gospels, when Jesus calls the disciples and they just drop everything and follow? Jonah is the opposite of that. He drops everything and runs away. So while he's on this boat going to Spain, there's a great storm that comes upon the boat. And everybody's wondering, why is there this storm? What's happening here? Somebody must have done something. And Jonah confesses, it's him. It's me. I'm running away from God. And he says, you know what? You should just throw me overboard and the storm will stop and everybody will be saved. Now the sailors on the boat, to their credit, they don't throw them overboard. The scripture says they row harder trying to outrace the storm. But the storm only grows worse. They throw things overboard, trying to make the boat lighter. The storm gets worse. The sailors, they pray, Forgive us for shedding innocent blood. And they throw Jonah overboard. And the storm stopped. And all the sailors, who are not all believers, suddenly get converted, and they all start worshiping God. Now, this is not a great evangelism technique, but apparently it works. Throw people overboard, and everybody believes. We're not recommending that as your next evangelism program, okay? Now comes the fun part. In verse 17, it says, here's the first chapter, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Most of the people think it's a whale, but again, the Bible says it was a fish. There aren't whales that are known to inhabit the Mediterranean. Maybe the author didn't know the difference between a whale and a fish. You know the story of Pinocchio? Disney? I used to get Pinocchio and Jonah, the two stories confused all the time, because Pinocchio spends time in the belly of a whale. Chapter 2, because all of this happens in chapter 1. Chapter 2 is one long prayer that Jonah says, 3 days, three nights, belly of a fish. He prays that whole time. So chapter 2 is this one long prayer. And I will sum up the entire prayer this way. You want Jonah prays? Help me, Lord. Right? If you're stuck in a fish, you're stuck in this place that you can't get out of, what's your prayer? Help me, Lord. Last verse in chapter 2, after this prayer, it says this. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. What a lovely image that is. Vomited out. I wanted to check this. I looked at 5 English translations. The New Revised Standard Version, the New International Version, the King James Version. Every one of them uses the same term, vomited. Only the New Revised Standard Version says this. And the fish spewed out Jonah. This is where the verses I read in chapter 3 begin. It begins. You gotta imagine this, right? So Jonah just gets out of the fish. And that's where the verses I read begin. There's Jonah standing there, kind of dripping, right? And then the word of the Lord. And where does he get spewed out? Right at Nineveh. Irony. Remember, right? Satire. How ironic. He goes in the belly of a fish for 3 days, going all over the, you know, who knows where in the Mediterranean. He suddenly gets vomited out. And where is he getting vomited out? Nineveh. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time, right? Go to Nineveh, that great city. And this time Jonah thinks, yeah, I better go, right? So Jonah goes to Nineveh. He's right there. We are told that Nineveh is a great city that takes 3 days to walk across. The lesson says that Jonah was in Nineveh, which is a great city in the Assyrian Empire. It is located near modern-day Mosul, in a rock. If you've been reading the news, you know that Mosul is in the news a lot, because the United States, as well as other forces, have been fighting there for a while. Modern day Mosul is right next to ancient Nineveh. It's clearly a Gentile city. During Jonah's time, maybe even like today, you know, Jonah's people, they really didn't like the people of Nineveh, and vice versa. They didn't get along then, they don't get along today. Maybe they even hated each other. Again, think Israel and Iraq, Jews and Muslims. This may be a clue why Jonah behaves the way he does. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't like them. And he didn't think they would like him. So this city is so big, it takes 3 days to walk across. That means it takes about a day and a half to get to the middle of the city. And scripture says Jonah walks 1 day in. So he doesn't even get to the center of the city. He walks in 1 day, and then he preaches an 8-word sermon. 40 days more, and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. This is half-hearted prophecy at best. Right? He's not really into it. 8 words. Not even in the middle of the city, which is what God wanted him to do. And yet the people believe. 8 words spoken one time somewhere in the outer ring of the city, and that people believe. The king believed, the nobles believed, even the animals believed. The animals. Everybody in the city believed. Again, remember, it's satire, right? It's a little bit overblown. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about what he was going to do. God repented is the way it's translated. In the King James, it says, God repented of the evil he had planned. God changed God's mind. This is probably where the story should end. This is a good place to end the story, right? Jonah does this thing, even if it's half-hearted. God was going to strike down evil. And God says, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. And hey, and they lived happily ever after. This is the perfect place to end the story. But it doesn't end here. The story doesn't end here. Jonah is not pleased with God. In fact, Jonah's angry. Jonah says, I knew you were going to do this. God, I knew you were going to do this. You said you were going to do it. You didn't do it. He's angry at God. This is why I went to Spain in the first place. You were going to do what you were going to do anyway. Jonah's angry, and he walks out of the city, and he sits down, and he still watches the city to see. Maybe God is still going to take it out. I don't know. Let's just watch and see what happens. It's hot, right? Middle East, it's hot. And God makes a plant to grow that offers shade for Jonah. And Jonah's quite happy with a little shade in the hot weather. The next day, God sends a worm to attack the plant, and the plant dies, and there's no more shade, And now Jonah's angry. It's time. I don't like it here. And then God asks, you're angry because the plant died? Jonah says, yeah, I'm angry. I'm angry the plant died. I'm angry you say Nineveh. I'm angry enough to die. And God says, you're concerned about a plant that you did not grow. Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, with all its people and animals too? And that's how the story ends. Jonah is angry about the plant, angry about Nineveh, and angry about God. God who saves a city. You're angry about the plan. Shouldn't I be concerned about Nineveh? How many of you saw Star Wars, The Last Jedi? Remember that scene where Rose Tico says, we're going to win this war not by fighting what we hate, but saving what we love. We're not going to win this war by fighting what we hate, but saving what we love. That could have been, right out of Jonah. That could have been God saying to Jonah, we're going to win this not by fighting what we hate, but by saving what we love. God ultimately loves Nineveh. Jonah's not a very good prophet. That's what the author is saying. That's a poke in the eye of prophets. Jonah's not a very good prophet. He's angry because he didn't want to go to this place in the first place. He knew God was good. He didn't believe God was really going to destroy Nineveh. Again, he didn't like the Ninevites. He's half-hearted, he's self-centered, he's irritable. That's Jonah. He's not a very good prophet. God, on the other hand, Yahweh God, is gracious in this story. Jonah even says so in chapter 4. I knew you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. A God that repents. A God that can change his mind. How often do we believe theological and biblical truths as unchanging, as etched in stone? And yet in this passage, God was planning one thing and God says, I change my mind. God can and does change his mind in this story. This is unusual. How often do we think of repenting as directed towards people? We even did it during our time of confession. But in this case, God repents. Story tells us who God really is. Whenever we think about a people, a nation, a group that somehow is not worth, less than, we should remember the story of Jonah. In this story, God says, there is no people, no place that is beyond my redemption. So anytime we would consider a place or a people less than, unworthy, somehow beyond saving, The story of Jonah tells us that's not true for God. There is no place, there are no people beyond redeeming. Whenever we read the Bible and use it to exclude or deny or reject people, that's Jonah, but it's not God. Whenever we say we will follow God, but in fact we follow our own desires, that's Jonah. That's not God. Whenever we think that people or countries are not worth saving, that's Jonah. But that's not God. Somewhere I read, history is true once, while a story is true forever. That's why we read the story for Jonah. And the joyful lesson is this, that wherever we are, God is there, loving us, nurturing us, drawing us into the joy of God's life. And that good news isn't just ours alone. It applies to all people everywhere. Again, no individual, no country, no nation or tribe is so far gone that God's Spirit does not include them. No one is beyond the scope of God's redeeming love. God condemned the people of Nineveh and then changed his mind. And the nation and the people survive. Sorry, Jonah. Yay, God. Let's pray.